Amen. All right, well, we're there in Daniel chapter number 1, and I'd like you to just look down at verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. What's going on here is that Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has basically taken control of Jerusalem, taking control of the southern kingdom, and the Lord allowed this. In verse 2, it says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that, notice what the king of Babylon does. He says that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princess. When King Nebuchadnezzar took control of the southern kingdom and of Jerusalem, he not only took gold and took resources from there, the Bible says that he brought children with him. And he basically just kidnapped a bunch of children and brought them with him. He said there that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, I cannot imagine a bigger nightmare for a parent than to have their child be taken away by a foreign enemy. And obviously, that's what's happening here in this story. And that's terrible. That's horrible, and I hope no one ever experiences anything like that. But we can learn something from this story, and here's the reason why. These children, even though they were taken away violently, these children, even though they were taken away from their families before they should have, it does picture a little bit of what we are trying to accomplish as parents with our children, in the sense that these children now had to live away from their parents. And the truth of the matter is, although we hope that a foreign enemy never comes in and removes our children away from us, the truth is this, that our goal as parents is to prepare our children for a time when they will be away from our authority. It's to prepare our children from a time when they will be away from their parents. See, these children had to deal away from mom and dad. They had to deal with the secular, worldly society that they found themselves living in the nation of Babylon. And here's the thing. My job as a parent and your job as parents, or maybe your job if you're helping as grandparents, or your job if you're helping as an aunt or an uncle, is to try to raise children. Hopefully they're never taken from you violently, but one day they're going to be taken from you. One day they're going to grow up and move away. They're going to get married. They're no longer going to be under your authority. They're going to be away from mom and dad, at least away from the authority of mom and dad. And they're going to be dealing with a worldly and secular society. But I want you to understand that the reason that Daniel and the reason that Daniel's friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were successful even away from their parents, even away in a secular environment, was because of the fact that they had already laid a foundation. Their parents had already laid a foundation for them. They've taught them several things. So tonight, I want to just, as quickly as we can, I understand we've got pizza on its way and all of that, but tonight I want to just give you, especially you parents that are educating your children even now, I want to give you three goals when it comes to the education of our children. Three goals that we ought to be trying to accomplish before the day comes when they're no longer under our authority, before the day comes when they are having to deal with a secular and worldly environment. I want to give you three goals in regards to what we should be trying to accomplish. And like I said, I'm not going to try to be very long tonight, but we'll get these points from the story here in Daniel. Look at verse 4. It says, children, because Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to take that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seeds and of the princes. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Notice verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision. Now the word provision there is referring to what he's providing for them, their needs to be able to eat. Notice what it says, a daily provision of the king's meat. The word meat is referring to food in the Bible. So he brings these children, and he provides for them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, and these are our characters, our heroes, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel is mainly known by his Hebrew name, Daniel. He was renamed Belteshazzar. But Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are mainly known by their Babylonian names, which are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know that in a few chapters, we're going to see these three young men stand against the opposition of Babylon and be thrown into the fiery furnace. And before I give you the first point tonight, though, I do want to say this. The story of Daniel, I don't believe that as parents we should try to, you know, throw our kids to the wolves and just let them, you know, just have access to whatever the world has to offer. Obviously, we need to try to protect our children. There are kids in our church that are in a public school system or a private school system. Maybe their children, their parents would like to homeschool and are not able to. I want to give you this encouragement that from the story of Daniel, we do learn that a child can live for God even while surrounded by a secular environment. So don't think to yourself like, oh, well, if I don't homeschool my kids, they're not going to turn out for God. That's not true. They can turn out for God, but here's what you need to understand. Whether they're homeschooled or whether they're in public school, no one will turn out for God by accident. No one will turn out for God by mistake. You can homeschool them and have them go and rebel against God and live for the world. You're going to have to do things on purpose. You're going to have to lay a foundation. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we need to try to lay a foundation in the lives of our young people and in the lives of our children. So if you're here tonight and you say, well, I'm not being homeschooled, this doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to you. You can listen to me. You can live, you teenager, you can live for God in a public high school. You say, well, everybody around me is doing drugs. Everybody around me is fornicating. Everybody around me is drinking alcohol. Everybody out around me is living like the world. Hey, you can be a Daniel and stand up for God even in the midst of that place. So let's never just have this defeated attitude that, oh, the world is too bad and it can't be accomplished. Hey, if Noah could do it, you and I can do it in our society as well. But I want you to notice here, the king is feeding them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. And notice verse 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. Notice verse 8. Verse 8 is probably the most famous verse in this chapter. It says this, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now you say, well, what was wrong with the portion of the king's meat? Well, we're not really told in the text exactly what's wrong with it. I'm sure if you understand, if you've been studying the book of Leviticus with us on Wednesday nights, that Daniel lived under the Mosaic law. He lived under the Levitical priesthood. There were dietary restrictions that he was supposed to follow to be right with God and to honor God. And I'm sure that the king's meats were not following those dietary restrictions. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I'm sure that this was probably alcohol. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, notice what it says, that he might not defile himself. Now keep your place there in Daniel chapter number 1 and go with me to the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament. Keep your place in Daniel 1. We're going to come right back to it. But go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And in the New Testament, if you can find all those T books, they're all clustered together, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And let me give you your first goal, mom and dad. You say, what is your goal with your children? Our goal in the education of our children is that they will be spiritual. Our number one goal in educating our children is that they will develop their own personal walk with God. See, Daniel found himself away from mom. Daniel found himself away from dad. Daniel found himself away from a pastor, away from a priest, away from a Levite, away from a spiritual leader. And he's being handed and he's being told, hey, eat this, drink this. And he understands that that would be defiling himself. He understands that that would not be honoring to God. And listen to me, mom and dad. Our success is not how well we can get our kids to be quote unquote spiritual or Christians while we have them in our home. Our success will be how well they love the Lord and serve the Lord and walk with the Lord when there's nobody there to force them to.
Amen.
See, when they have the choice, I could drink this and nobody would know it. I could eat this and mom wouldn't know it. I could go to that party and no one would even care. Nobody really cares in this environment. Nobody really cares living for God around me. All the other kids are doing it. But see, Daniel's parents were successful parents because they were able to establish in his heart and in his soul from a young age, they were able to establish, Daniel, we do not walk with God and we do not follow the Bible and we do not love the Lord simply to be seen of men and simply because it's what everybody else in church is doing. They understood and they transferred into his heart and his mind that your walk with God is a genuine walk. Anywhere and everywhere you are.
Amen.
And Daniel did not do what he did to impress men. Daniel did what he did to impress God. You say, what's our goal? Our goal is that our children would serve God what no one is forcing them to. Say, Pastor Raymond, how will you know if you're successful? I will know if I'm successful. I will know if I successfully transferred my faith to my children when they are adults, when they are grown up, when they are married, when no one is forcing them, when no one is telling them to get up and read their Bible, no one is telling them to get up and get ready for soul winning, no one is telling them to get up and get ready for church, no one is telling them, get your tie on, we're going to Sunday night church, when they have the freedom to do what they want and they purpose in their hearts to serve God. See, our goal is to develop young people that are spiritual people. Young people that love the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, like we talked about this morning, God can still do it.
Amen.
Today we get this idea, well, no, we can't raise up young people that love the Lord. Oh, yes, we can.
Amen.
We don't have to raise up teenagers that are on drugs. We don't have to raise up teenagers that are rebellious. We don't have to raise up teenagers that have tried alcohol and have tried. We can still raise up a godly generation, and I would submit to you tonight that we must raise up a godly generation. Are you there in 2 Timothy 1? Look at verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1:5 says this, when I call to remembrance, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith of that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And he says, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. And please listen to me, kids. Please listen to me. You've got to make the decision for yourself. You like Daniel. Go back to Daniel chapter 1 and look at verse 8. Every child ought to think of this verse, ought to meditate on this verse, ought to memorize this verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Would to God that we would have some teenagers that would right now decide, hey, I will purpose in my heart to not defile myself with drugs and alcohol. Would to God we'd have some young people right now that would say, I'm purposing, I'm deciding, I'm making the choice right now that I'm going to maintain purity and be a virgin until the day of my marriage. Would to God that we would have some teenagers that would say, hey, I'm purposing in my heart to have my own walk, to read the Bible because I love God and because I love the Lord, to develop a time of prayer and to go out soul winning, not because I'm part of this church, not because my parents are forcing me to, but because I love the Lord.
Amen.
See, Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And listen to me, mom, and listen to me, dad. Our job, our goal in educating our children is not that we would educate brilliant children, although that is part of the goal. It's not if they can pass all the SATs and get into all the great schools and get into Harvard and get into this and get into Yale and they end up living for the world, we will have failed.
Amen.
In our education. Because our goal in education is that our children would be spiritual. But there's a second goal. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Not only is our goal in education that they would be spiritual, but our goal in education, to put it bluntly, is that they will be smart. Our goal in the education, I'm talking about the homeschool kids, Verity Baptist Church homeschool group. Our goal in education is that these children will be smart, that they will be intelligent. It's interesting what the Bible says about Daniel and his friends. Notice verse 4, Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 4. It says, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored. Notice what it says. And skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. The Bible says about these young people that they were skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. These are smart kids. These were not dumb kids. These were well-educated children. Look at verse 17. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. For these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Look at verse 20. And in all matter of wisdom and understanding, these children were not only spiritual, they were intelligent. These children were not only spiritual, they were smart children. And please listen to me, mom and dad. Our children that we are homeschooling in this church and this homeschool group should be getting the best education of any child in this city. Amen. There should be no public school. There should be no private school. There should be no institution that is doing a better job at not only teaching our children to be spiritual, but teaching our children to be intelligent. Make sure you are making a priority of actually having school. Make sure you are making a priority of actually putting your kids on a schedule. Make sure you're making a priority of actually getting through the curriculum. Make sure you're making a priority of actually making sure that it's good. Start the day. At our home, my wife has, you know, they start the day at a certain time. The children get dressed. We do not do school in pajamas. I would not encourage you to do school in pajamas. You are hurting. Listen to me. It's a thing with homeschool parents. Oh, well, we homeschool, so we kind of just start school whenever, and we stay in our pajamas. You are going to help your children to fail. Because one day they're going to have to go get a job. And guess what they have to do at a job? They have to show up at a certain time. And they can't show up in their pajamas. Right. They got to be ready to work. They got to be ready to go. You say, well, I've got a daughter and I'm just preparing her for, she's going to be a stay-at-home mom and she's not going to go to work. Hey, praise the Lord for it. But listen to me. No husband wants a wife that's just running around in her pajamas all day. Say, well, I run around in my pajamas all day. Well, I'm trying to help you to have a happy husband. Well, my husband never said anything because he's scared of you, but I'm not. I'm telling you right now. No husband likes to come home after working all day and his wife is in her pajamas, her hair's a mess. You know, it's like, what have you been doing all day? I just woke up from my nap. That's ridiculous. And don't teach your children that either. These kids were not like that. These kids were smart kids. They were intelligent children. You know, I believe we ought to have the smartest children coming out of the Verity Baptist Church homeschool group. I believe we, and you say, well, do you emphasize that? I don't think we ought to emphasize that over spirituality. If you got a busy day and you can only squeeze in one thing, you make sure you squeeze in Bible time before you squeeze in anything else. The most important thing is that they be spiritual. The most important thing is that they love the Lord. But don't say, well, we're teaching them to be spiritual and they don't know how to read either. We're teaching them to be spiritual, but they don't know anything about math or science. Or look, we just went through 6 weeks of evolution versus creation. There's a whole lot of science you can learn from the Bible. There's a whole lot of science that we need to learn, that we need to know as Christians. You say, what is your goal? What is the goal for homeschooling, for educating our children? Listen to me. Our goal is that they would be spiritual, but our goal is that they would be smart, that they would be intelligent, that they would be skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. We need to prepare these children. We need to prepare these children for the fact that one day they're going to be running their own homes. They're going to be providing for their families. They're going to be educating their children. And we need to make sure that we are setting them up for success when it comes to their own intelligence. And listen to me, kids. You kids that are being homeschooled, take your schooling seriously. Take your school seriously. Take the time to read the books and write the essays and do a good job and try to learn. You know what successful adults do? You know what successful adults are doing? And I'm going to talk about this in my Father's Day sermon, so I don't want to get too far into that. But let me explain something to you. The most financially successful people in our society, there's one common denominator, and it's this. They are readers. They read. I don't care what part of society, I don't care where they work, I don't care if it's ministry, business, construction, legal, whatever it is, the most successful people you will find in any area, you will find people who are reading. Because here's what's funny. I always feel like we have the education system all mixed up. We take kids when they don't understand the value of an education and spend 12 years trying to educate them, and then they get out into the real world and they're like, I wish I would have read a little bit. I wish I knew how to do that. And guess what adults that are successful do? They read. And they learn. And they're growing in their skills. And at least they're reading the Bible. Good night, right? Can we get an amen there? At least they're reading the Word of God. At least they're reading the Bible. So look, kids, if you want to be successful in life, just soak it in now. Get it all in now. Make sure you're doing your studies and you're taking them seriously. So what's our goal? Number one, that they would be spiritual. I said I was going to preach 20 minutes, but the pizza's not here yet, all right? Number two, that they should be smart. The pizza's not here, right? Somebody tell me. All right. The ushers ate all the pizza already. Number three, go to Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 4 again. I said number one, what's our goal? Number one, that our children would be spiritual. Number two, that our children would be smart, intelligent, educated. But there's a third goal. I want you to notice something about Daniel and his friends. Look at verse 4. The children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. Why don't you notice this phrase? And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. There was something interesting about these children. You know what was interesting about them? They had the ability. They had the ability to stand in front of a king. Not just any king, the king. The king of Babylon, who ran the entire world, these young people had the ability to stand before a king, look him in the eye, speak to him, and impress the king. You know what these kids had? They had social skills. Look at what it said. Look at verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. Hey, that's great, but that's not enough either, because we've all known the brilliant guy that's got no common sense, right? He's real smart, but he can't talk to anybody or get anything done. These kids, not only were they spiritual, not only were they intelligent, they also had very good social skills. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Look at verse 8. Notice their ability. Look at verse 19 real quick. We're going to come back to verse 8 in a second. But look at verse 19. Daniel chapter 1, verse 19. And the king, notice what it says. And the king communed with them. He had meal with them. He had fellowship with them. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, and the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Listen to me, mom and dad. Please listen to me very carefully. Your job is not only to make sure your children are spiritual. Your job is not only to make sure your children are intelligent, smart. Your job is to make sure that they are socially developed, that they have good social skills. Now, let me say this. Homeschooling gets a bad rap about kids being, you know, they're not social, so they're socially awkward, okay? Please understand a couple things. Number one, there's some really weird public school kids, okay? So don't, it's not just the home. You say, aren't there a bunch of weird homeschool kids? Yeah, there are, but there's a bunch of weird public school kids too. And there's a bunch of weird private school kids, and there's a bunch of just weird people that are being raised by weird people. That's why they're weird, all right? But, you know, if you interact with our kids here at Verity Baptist Church, they're not these weird weirdos. They're normal. You know, our kids get a lot of social time. Because here's what I've noticed. Here's the kids. Because there are some weird homeschool kids. But let me just tell you who those kids are. Those are the kids that mom and dad don't go to church anywhere. They're not part of any homeschool group. They homeschool, but that's all they do. They're just at home. And it's all, they just worship their own little family. And it's all about them. And those kids are weird. They're odd. Sometimes they come here. And we're like, those kids are weird. I really hope they don't rub off on my kids. You know, and look, I'm not making excuses for it. I'm just telling you, you know, that's why you need to make sure you have your kids in a homeschool group. I mean, our kids, they got PE class every other week. They've got Spanish class every other week. They've got field trips every month. They fellowship Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. These kids get enough. And for those of you listening online, let me say this. That right there, the homeschool group, that's worth the move right there. Just to have your kids in a homeschool group where every, because the other problem with a bunch of these homeschool groups is that you're in a homeschool with a bunch of liberal Christians. I don't want to hang out with worldly people, and I don't want to hang out with a bunch of NIV, Joel Osteen loving Christians either. No, the great thing about the Verity Baptist Church homeschool group, you know what's the great thing about it? Is that all of them are King James only. All of them are right on salvation. All the parents are out soul winning. They're all, you know, going in the same direction. So that's worth the move right there. I mean, that's worth the investment right there. Just to have your kids around other kids that are going down the same road. Obviously, we're all different and we've got different ways of life and we get that. But that's what's right there. But when I'm talking about social skills, I'm not talking about that awkward thing, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a child's ability to be able to be around other people and to socialize with them in a way where he can speak or she can speak to them. See, the Bible says about Jesus that he spoke with authority, but it also says that he spoke with grace. And listen to me. We got him here. We've got 30-year-old brats. We've got 40-year-old brats. We've got 30 and 40-year-old men and women who have no social skills, who are rude, who are self-centered. And you say, why are you preaching against them? Because they don't know it. But the rest of us know them. So I can preach about them and they're like, I wonder who he's talking about. Let me explain something to you. Because pizza's not here yet, right? Let me just help you out with something. Because people get this idea, like, nobody likes me because I'm so successful. You know that's not true? Most people like successful people. Nobody likes me because I'm so handsome or good-looking. You know that's not true? Most people like good-looking people. Well, nobody likes me because of this. You're a little arrogant, number one. But number two, let me explain something to you. You want to know why somebody doesn't like you or why nobody likes you? If nobody likes you, it's for this one reason. You're a jerk. That's the only reason. Nobody just says, I don't like that person because of the way they're dressed. No, they don't like you because you're rude, because you have no social skills, because you say things that are mean, because you think of yourself only and not other people. You say, why are you preaching this? Because here's what I have found. There is no hope for the 30-year-old brat. Trust me, I spent the last 7 years trying to help him. It doesn't work. You've got to help them when they're kids. When they're kids and they're throwing that fit and it's all about me and I don't want to share, that's where you've got to nip that. Doesn't the Bible say, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves? Doesn't the Bible say that? Amen. You've got to lay that foundation in your kids when they're young so that they don't grow up to be the 30, 40, 50-year-old brat throwing an adult fit. Yes, it happens. Because I didn't get my way. Those are not the kids we want to raise. We want to raise kids, like the Bible says, not motivated by strife and vainglory. We want to raise kids that in lowliness of mind, in humility, that they would esteem others better than themselves. That they would look at others and say, let me put you first. Let me think of your feelings and your emotions and appreciate you and how do you feel about the situation. That's the type of kid we want to raise. And listen to me. Listen to me very careful. Daniel had very good social skills. And if you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, are you talking about me? Come ask me. I'll let you know I'm talking about you. Look at verse 8. If you think I'm talking about you, I'm probably talking about you. All right? Daniel 1, 8. My husband said that you weren't talking about me. That's because he's scared of you. Daniel 1, 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Is the pizza here yet or what? All right. I said I was going to be here for 20 minutes, but, you know, we're just going to sit around staring at each other anyway. You're going to be like, is that you? I think he was talking about you. If you say that, you got no skills, all right? But Daniel purposed in his heart. Notice, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Okay, according to chapter 1 and verse 8, was Daniel going to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, yes or no? No. He purposed in his heart. He decided, he made the choice, I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince. You know I did that? Because Daniel was a lovable guy. Daniel was a guy that you like to be around. Daniel was the type of guy that people like. They liked being around him. You know why? I think it was because Daniel esteemed others better than himself. I think it was because Daniel was graceful. Doesn't the Bible say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers? I wonder what would happen in your life and in my life. I wonder how many promotions you would get at work if every time you opened your mouth, you made sure that what you were saying was not only edifying, but it was ministering grace to the hearers. Doesn't the Bible say, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt? Doesn't the Bible say that our words, that we should think of our words and make sure that what we are saying is something that's edifying and helpful to others? Meaning that if we're going to be a jerk or rude, we should consider, is this something that's going to build this person up or is it something that's going to tear them down? Is this something that is I'm only saying to make myself feel good or am I esteeming others better than myself? Notice what Daniel does. Look at verse 10. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So here's what happens. Daniel goes to the eunuch. I don't want to eat the meat. I don't want to drink the wine. And the eunuch says, Daniel, you're going to get me in trouble. If you don't eat the food, you're going to endanger my head to the king. Look at verse 11. So Daniel blasted him on Facebook. Is that what it says? So Daniel made a video about him. Called him an idiot. Said, you're a moron. Now look, we're not talking about a false prophet here. We're supposed to call out false prophets. We understand that. But in Daniel's relationships with unsaved people, you know what he did? Look what he did. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Notice how he deals with the conflict. Verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Now look, I don't believe Daniel was going to eat the food or drink it either way, but when he goes to resolve this conflict, he doesn't go all puffed up. I'm Mr. Spiritual and you're not. You're going to listen to me. No. He had people skills. You know what he did? He said, why don't we try it out? And then you can decide. Because I don't want to get you in trouble because I esteem you better than myself. And he allowed God to deal with it. He allowed God to take care of it. I'm here to tell you tonight, some of you cannot get your neighbors, your coworkers, your family saved, not because they're anti-God, they're just anti-you and your bad attitude. Not because they have this hate for God, they just can't stand how you come across. Because you're a jerk. Because you're hyper-spiritual. You say, well, do you think that we should go? I don't think you should do any of it. But I think when you're dealing with unbelievers, you should be careful about how you deal with them. Doesn't the Bible say, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? For they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, here's what Daniel understood. This eunuch, if I explain to him, well, here's the thing, according to Leviticus chapter 12, I'm not allowed to eat that pork. He understood the eunuch's not going to get that. So he came to him with a humble attitude and said, hey, can we try this? Well, you're going to get me in trouble, Daniel. Well, here's the thing, I don't want to get you in trouble. But could we try it just for a little while and see what God does? And here's what I want you to understand. Daniel had not only been trained to be spiritual, not only had he been trained to be intelligent, he had been trained to be a very skilled people person. He had wonderful people skills. Now, Daniel wasn't going to back off. Push come to shove, he ended up getting thrown in the lion's den. But he dealt with people gracefully. He dealt with people esteeming them better. He dealt, and look, mom and dad, we need to make sure that in our education, we are teaching our kids to develop good social skills. You cannot allow your children to think that it's all about them. You cannot allow your children to think that the world revolves around them. Whatever you want, honey, whatever you want, sweetheart, whatever, because it's cute when they're 3 and it's cute when they're 13, but one day they're going to be 30 and 40 and 50 years old. And someone's going to have to be dealing with that. And saying, it's not all about you, sweetheart. It's not all about you. Sometimes we need to look at others and try to help others and love others. So what's our goal? What's our goal when it comes to our children's education? Well, number one, our goal is that we would develop children that are spiritual. Yes. But our goal would also be that we would develop children that are intelligent, that are smart, that are skilled. That have something up here. And our goal would be that we would raise children that have the social aptitude, the social skills, the social ability to be able to deal with life. Now look, I understand that there's some people we're never going to please. And no matter what you say, they're going to hate you. I get that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about in my life and in your life, we should be careful. We should be careful to develop proper people skills and to make sure that we are developing those proper people skills in our children. And maybe all I'm doing is helping their future pastor from having to deal with the 30 and 40 year old brats. So our goals, see, we're not just trying to get them through school. They got, you know, the 12 years in and here's their diploma. We're actually trying to accomplish something in their lives. And if you're here today, you say, well, I didn't get that education. I didn't get taught those things. I wish I would have been raised that way, but I didn't. Hey, listen to me. It's not too late. It's not too late. You can start reading and develop some intelligence. You can start developing some people skills. And try to be kind to people and loving to people and esteem others better than yourself. And not be contentious and angry. We can all develop spirituality in our lives. And this is not only the goal for our children, but it is a goal for us as adults as well. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the story of Daniel, where we can learn about you and learn from these young men. Lord, these are obviously talented young men. But Lord, I believe that today we can raise young people of the caliber of Daniel. I believe we can raise young people that are not only spiritual, they're intelligent, and they're graceful. They love you and they love people. Like the Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can grow in favor with God and men. And Father, I pray you'd help us to develop those skills. I pray you'd help us develop those skills in our children. We love you, Lord. I pray that you'd bless the fellowship to come, the food to our bodies. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.